Welcome to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
Out, we're not going to have any of those things happening. Did you see what happened in the legislature this last Monday? Well, let me kind of tell you what happened. Okay, first of all, going back to November last year, Proposition 1 passed in California overwhelmingly over 2 to 1, 67% to 32% in favor, and that authorized about $7.5 billion for various water projects. $7.5 billion. Of that $7.5 billion, $2.7 billion was for water storage projects, dams, and reservoirs. Fast forward to Monday. Here is what happened on Monday. And let me get my paperwork out here and get it just right. The Democrats shot down the Republican bill that would, on two different dams, one in Fresno County and one in the Sacramento area, to improve and increase the water capacity to nearly double what the Folsom Dam has out there. So they shot that down. They said, well, you know what? We gave the fast track to the Sacramento Kings and Los Angeles areas for sports facilities down there because those were specific projects. So specifically, they wanted to fix and they wanted to increase a couple of dams and increase the capacity. That wasn't specific enough, I guess, as they shot that down. Democrats, wake up. I know it's the right now, but we have to build for the future. We've had 30 years thinking about this. We've been talking about this for a month here on the 503 Report. We're in the midst of a drought. We need to think about increasing our storage capacity. $2.7 billion out of the $7.5 billion earmarked for storage facilities out there, and they shot it down. That money wasn't going to be released until 2016. That's how all those things work out. But I was shocked to hear that, and I am very disappointed in the legislature for shooting that bill down. It is Friday. It is our favorite day of the week. I'm tired of beating that dead horse in the ground, but folks, you need to know what's going on in the legislature. With me, as always, my good friend to my right, Andrew Wellborn. Buddy, how are you today, pal?
We're doing great, Tim, and of course you're referring to Assembly Bill 311 by Assemblyman James Gallagher, you know, as you said, you know, to streamline the environmental review. That's all they're asking. Yes. It's just streamlining the environmental review so that we can get a couple of dams, you know, going as far as construction. I mean, it's kind of important. You know, we probably need to start focusing California on the importance of this water storage that we talk about, not just on the 503 Report, but in that Republican side of the legislature. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we are aware America's voice is heard. And right now, California, you might want to start listening to the voices of reason when it comes from the Republicans advocating the importance for your water storage.
You know, I can understand the Sacramento area had the Kings Arena. It was old. It was antiquated. They wanted to keep that arena. They wanted to keep the team right there because that is a source of revenue down there. I can see that to streamline that. Los Angeles, they haven't had a football team there in two decades. Okay, they have the area down there and they got the money. It's fast track. Let me tell you what, that's not for everybody. This is for everybody, for the water, for everybody. We have to have those structures and places in ready to go, Andrew. This is a great source of infrastructure for revenue, for jobs
Absolutely.
Out there, for the taxpaying base. This is things we could do. It was for streamlining the EPA, and boy, when you hit on the EPA, they still are the golden child. They will not do things unless it benefits somebody. I don't know who. This project that would have benefited everybody, Andrew.
Oh, I would venture to say it's not really the EPA here. This is just a California Natural Resource Committee. I mean, this is just the California legislature. EPA is not even involved with this. So this committee now has determined that we're not going to allow for such actions to occur, like you just said, you know, that could create jobs. Let's face it, not just construction jobs, but, you know, dam management and the science and the engineering behind that is just an incredible opportunity for young men and women, you know, to expand their minds, to get into some technical education for careers. But, you know, for us to just, you know, dismiss it because of whatever the reasons are is crazy.
You know, Andrew, you hit on that because there hasn't been a project like that or anything where we haven't really built anything like that in the order of that for quite a long time. And the technology is there to do things better, faster, maybe with less impact on the environment, but make it stronger and better for the environment and for the people as well.
Of course, we're going to be conscious of ecosystems, you know, when it comes to the fishery and the environment around, you know, whenever you displace some type of element of the environment. We know it's not like yesterday. I mean, we understand the importance, and there's a balance out here in California to where we can get it done. But just to shoot it down is ridiculous. You know, when we're talking about Jerry Brown's executive order to reduce emissions in California to 40% below the 1990s level because they want to have regulatory policy requiring the state to consider climate change. Well, hold on. I mean, climate change. How about a policy to understand that climate change is affected our water with our consumption with 40 million people out here in the state of California.
Do you think anything is going to become of that? Okay, Andrew, they have the 2.7 already set aside. So the Republicans came up with this plan, and they wanted to do this. Are the Democrats waiting for a Democrat to come up with a plan to say, well, let's do it down here, maybe in a bigger voter base? I don't know what they're thinking, why they would refuse to even allow it to be streamlined. I can't fathom that.
Well, more importantly, you know, $2.7 billion of the, what, $7.5 billion bond in its totality, whatever that number was, it doesn't seem like a lot, which is why you saw a lot of the opposition from the Republicans when it came towards this bond, because the majority of that money was not going for the purpose of water storage. But the bigger issue is this. You know, you take a look at California State Senate President Pro Tem Kevin DeLeon's proposals to Jerry Brown as far as these are going to be our great opportunities to preserve water by, you know, we're going to eliminate the grass on state buildings and state properties. We're going to bring in gravel and make it, you know, water use friendly type environment within our state. I mean, come on, wake up. I mean, it's just almost ridiculous with Kevin DeLeon just to make those. I can't believe he actually made that public.
Andrew, I don't see how we can make that public because that's a quick fix. There's no beauty in that. We have the technology out there. We can do things. They can do things if they wanted to get these things back going again. I wonder, things get shot down, brought up all the time, Andrew. Do you see, I'm going to assume that somebody else is going to continue on, maybe with a different kind of a bill, different rewording. They said they wanted a specific project. Okay, let's say Folsom Dam. Folsom Dam holds 1 million acre feet of water. You look at it right now, it's almost dry, comparatively speaking. Do you think that they are going to earmark, okay, let's double the capacity for the Folsom Dam. Let's bring up this earmark $1 billion of the 2.7 for Folsom.
Oh, man, good Lord, I don't know. You'd have to consult with some people down in the Folsom area to know, first of all, if that's even possible as far as expanding the water or increasing the capability out of Folsom, what type of impact that would have on the community in that surrounding area. But ultimately, you know, Californians, we're going to have to make a choice. Do we want water or not, especially as the state grows, as this drought conditions, you know, continue. And as we all know, man, I mean, the bottom line is this 40 plus million people, we're going to use quite a bit of water.
And we had harped about this and talked about this. You talked about this desalination of plants, anything to get things going. We need to have something in place. You know, we always talk about, well, it's for the kids or whatever else. But you know what? If we don't have water, we don't have storage capacity for those times of good. Like if we don't have money set aside in the legislature for times where it is not so good, you know, it's going to be disastrous here in the state of California. What may happen, and I just... You know, we can't have many more years, Andrew, of this where we have drought and not enough water.
Absolutely. You know, what's interesting is the California tax return revenue is starting to show up now as far as 2 years postings. They're always going to be about 2 years. So 2013 tax, you know, postings and the numbers are starting to roll in. And I have to tell you, I'm kind of concerned. I we'll talk about this probably a little bit more on the bottom part of the show. But when you take a look at some of the, I see the beginning, folks, of they're trying to set the stage for just a, well, I think the reality is out here in California, we realize is that, you know, there's not enough one percenters out here to support this ever growing budget slash state department agency slash everything that we want to do out here in California, which just small percentages. But we'll get back into that here real soon. And of course, in studio with us, filling in for our good friend Mr. Stan Barnes, is Mr. Paul Staddy. Paul, what should we be knowing today?
I want to talk about Baltimore. Thugs in that city have been protesting, rioting, and looting since Monday over the death of Freddie Gray. Because of that, on Tuesday, the Baltimore Orioles baseball team canceled its game. Then on Wednesday, the team decided to play the first ever game in history where they closed the stadium and did not allow a single fan to attend. All because of serious unrest caused by hooligans burning down their city. There was no popcorn, hot dogs, or peanuts. Nothing was sold. Nobody yelling, "Beer here!" All the vendors had to take the day off. This because real tough guys were breaking into local stores. The baseball stadium was empty with the exception of two scouts, the scoreboard operator, and some photographers. All because hoodlums were throwing bottles and concrete at police. Wednesday's attendance was zero, breaking the old record of 655 back in 72. Before that, the lowest attendance in baseball history was six, way back in 1882. Today, the Orioles start a three-game home series against the Rays in St. Petersburg, Florida. They'll be the home team there, only this time they'll be playing 900 miles away from their home stadium, all because of the actions of the rioters and looters in Baltimore, Maryland. Look what you thugs have done to your city, and now to your own baseball team. I hope you're all feeling real proud of yourselves. I'll bet it all backfires. Know that, you gangsta wannabes.
Know that.
All right, this date in history, May 1st, 1486. Christopher Columbus, he convinces Queen Isabella to fund an expedition to the West Indies. And, of course, ended up discovering good old us, the United States of America. And, of course, in 1915, the faithful luxury liner Lusitania leaves New York Harbor for a voyage to Europe. And I need to remind everybody what happened to Lusitania and what it did as far as the United States. And, of course, 1927, Adolf Hitler holds his first Nazi meeting in Berlin.
Live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains, it's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday right after the news on 1240 KSV, live streaming on the World Wide Web, SierraDailyNews.com. You can catch the podcast show at the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard as well. And you can catch a rebroadcast of the half-hour show every Saturday and Sunday. Saturdays at 7, Sunday at 7:30, right here on 1240 KSU. Hope you caught the opening 15 minutes talking about water here, but I'm sure we'll talk about that and taxes coming up in this half-hour spot. And with me, as always, my good friend, Andrew Wellborn. Andrew, how are you doing, buddy?
You know, we're out here in California, and the news is starting to hit the headlines about all kinds of stuff. And that's what we do here on the 503 Report. We try to find the news, bring it to you folks. take a look at the spin, see what dog is wagging, and try to cut through it and try to bring to you, our listener up and down California, you know, the real truth behind this. And basically what we'd like to do is, you know, try to talk to you, to our ever-expanding listenership, which is ongoing up here. You know, we just really, really focus on what they are not telling you versus what they are trying to tell you. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we are where America's voice is heard, Tim. And, you know, we were talking about in the first part of this show, you know, Governor Jerry Brown is actually taking a page out of President Barack Obama's book of executive orders, and he just released a big one. I mean, he just declared himself king by mandating that we're going to reduce emissions in California, out here 40% below the 1990s level. And it's a regulatory policy that's going to require the state to consider how climate change will affect California's infrastructure and industry. And they're also going to require the state agencies to consider climate change when they are planning and investment decisions. I mean, to me, who made him the king? Last time I looked, he is the governor of the state of California, but a gubernatorial executive order to exceed what the people of California, as far as emission controls, have already put into the law with the propositions?
Andrew, that's been his pet project ever since really the 70s, when he was governor two terms back then as well. So that's really what he is focusing on. That's great. He wants to reduce the emissions by, you know, 40, 80, 100%, whatever, compared to 1990. Okay, Governor, how do you want to do it? Just by considering climate change? We're not even really sure if there is such a thing as climate change. So give us a specific plan. What do you plan on doing? I want to say we're going to have 50% electric cars for government agencies in California. That's what they're going to do. Not just shutting off the water and doing things to save water. Let's hear something specific, and then we can sink our teeth into it like we do every Friday here, and we can talk about it and say, this is a good plan for the people of California. This is a bad plan.
Look, I think he's spending too much time in China because he's getting that emperor status in his mind. You know, he just wants to dictate to the people out here in California. I'm really upset about this because, you know, the executive order impact on the people of California, the businesses in California, based on just climate change, you know, a drought or some type of global warming. And that's how the Democrats, you know, they're starting to change it from global warming to climate change, because they realize that most reasonable individuals throughout the world realize that global warming is probably not occurring at the level and for the reasons that they are putting out there as far as it is occurring. So it's just, you know, to me, it's just ridiculous for him to say that we're going to take that into consideration when it comes to you as a business. To open a business, you're now going to have to consider, you know, the emissions when it comes to any type of industry that you want. So California, look, hey, this is what we're doing. You know, we're preventing ourselves from having water. We're preventing businesses from being out here in California. And, you know, eventually we're going to have no cars or no gasoline or no power structure as far as, you know, making sure that your lights come on.
And we've talked to our assemblyman, the U.S. Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Brian Dolly's been on here, business owners, and about how the rules and laws affect the change, you know, for small businesses like they have. We have been talking about that for 4 years. And now, can you imagine if you wanted to open up, you know, a nursery or something like that? And I'm not saying that that specifically is what it is, but can you imagine if you have to put in to the construction and everything else? Well, this is what is going to happen with your little mom and pop place, and how it's going to affect the climate change in the state of California and in the world. And we're going to make you spend this X amount of money to have these products in there. This is going to be crazy, Andrew.
All right, let's talk about the taxes out here in California. Boy, I have to tell you, you know, we're coming off April 15th. You guys all heard me rant and rave, you know, about the checks that I wrote and sent off not only to the IRS, but the State Board of Equalization out here in California. You know, some data is starting to be released, and it states that Californians, they filed 16 million state income tax returns for the year 2013. It represented $1.42 trillion. Dollars in adjusted gross income. That seems like a lot, huh?
It's an awful lot, Andrew.
You know what's crazy about this? It's just that only 16 million of 40 million people filed personal income tax returns here in the state of California. So, I mean, once again, we have a situation where they're trying to spin something one way, but not really focus on the fact that half of California are not currently filing, in accordance to this data, necessary personal income tax returns. And the question is going to have to be why. And in this information, it's you know, championing that median income out here in California is raising by 2%, ready to a whopping average $36,624 a year. Now, this is basic math. One percenters, guess what? Is it the one percenters that represent how much of, or should we say how many of the 16 million state income tax returns filed represented that $1.42 trillion in adjusted gross income? So, you know, the bigger question for California is this. Look, if we want to start paying for stuff, then maybe we should start targeting everybody. You know, the leftist likes to talk about equality. Everybody's equal. Well, maybe it's time that we start putting a tax code together that is equal to everybody based on percentages. And maybe we could start to have everybody paid. I mean, think about this real quick. We've got $113 billion in our budget. We have over $1.4 $2 trillion based on half of the population filing income tax returns. So maybe it's time for us to start tipping into or dipping into going out there and getting the individuals who are not paying taxes, but at the same time reaping the reward from individuals like ourselves who pay taxes.
Do you think, well, that number is probably not going to double if you were to double that. Let's say you were to get 20 million people paying taxes annually and up that by, let's say, another 15% or so on the 1.4 trillion, bringing up to near 2 trillion. Can you imagine the money that would be available to things? Is that too easy? Is that too simple?
How about everybody paying their fair share?
Thank you.
Okay, how about just people paying? I mean, it's ridiculous to think, well, if we can just get up to 20, how about 40 million residents, yep, if you are residing in the state of California, pay your taxes? Or does this represent something else, Tim, when we think about this? Maybe if we only have 16 million people filing personal income tax returns, maybe it's because the wealthy in California have got residences out of state. Maybe they are moving their money out of state, which is a smart thing to do. I'm not going to condemn that. But maybe that's an indicator to the people of California that the one percenters really are not worried about the propositions that are putting 2-3% on top of the 10% on,
yes,
top of the increased capital
gains.
Wait a
minute, you're too many percents there for me, Andrew.
Absolutely, that's a problem. We've got too many percentages out there that do not apply to the individuals that live out here, because the bottom line is this. If everybody paid their fair share, then I guess maybe we would not have the budgetary issues that we always have, which is coming up this month, the May revision. We're just waiting to see the May revision, see what the information is going to be out here in California as far as how short, and once again, I'm predicting we're going to be short again, how short we are, especially after this Proposition 30 tax increase we just recently passed out here in California.
You know, we've talked about here on the show a lot, Andrew, that a lot of money is off the coast of California, billions and billions of dollars, because they're waiting to, you know, just they move money around. And you know that a lot more, I think, than a lot of folks out there. Money is moved around to wherever you can make it the most for yourself. And it's over there because California, in California, you cannot make money with businesses that are not friendly toward businesses like you can in other states, like Texas, Florida, all those other places. It was just sitting off there. Wouldn't it be great if that money were back here as well?
Look, 6 million residents in the Bay Area, California out here. That's the San Francisco Bay Area for our cross-country listeners out here. They paid an average of $3,119 in state taxes versus the state average of $1,460 per resident. To me, that seems kind of low. I don't like the way these numbers work. You guys know I always talk about, I hate these stats. I think they misrepresent, you know, because bottom line, people aren't paying, because people paid way more than $3,000, obviously, in the Bay Area, for goodness sakes. But the Bay Area is accounting for $19.9 billion in personal income tax. You know, Los Angeles County is $13.5 billion in personal income taxes. So once again, I think the point I'm trying to make here, guys, is that, look, I mean, are we paying too much? Are we paying just right? Or who's not paying their fair share when we look at this amount of revenue just on the personal level?
Well, Andrew, and the facts and figures on that, $19 billion in income taxes out of San Francisco Bay Area, out of California. Half the amount of people as Los Angeles area does, and they are doing a fully 50% more in the taxes. There is the Silicon Valley, you know, Google and those companies like that are just huge companies out there. They're driven. People are making a lot of money. But that just shows you what entrepreneurs can do here and this time in our great state as well.
Well, we got a lot of sports events happening this weekend. The Kentucky Derby, I love it. I love the Triple Crown season. And, of course, the Mayweather fight and Pacquiao fight. I have to tell you, go America. That's how I'm cheering when it comes to this fight. But, you know, the Speakers Cup, You guys heard about the Speaker's Cup, right?
Mm.
The Speaker's Cup is going on down in Pebble Beach, and that is an annual fundraiser for the Democrat lawmakers. And guess what, man? For a whopping $35,000 and up, you'll have the opportunity to play golf with California lawmakers. Now, look, there's a lot of problems right now going on within the Democrats. You know, Democrats are taking in a lot of money. They like to go against the Wall Streeters. They like to go against the one percenters, the earners, the creators of this nation, the individuals who drive the machines of capitalism. But at the same time, boy, they are willing to line up every day in their own hypocrisy in order to get a piece of that wealth.
If you'd like to join the conversation, it's pretty easy. 257-TALK, 825-58256. Our dime out of the area, 1-866-882-1277.
Quincy Rotary's 14th Annual Golf Tournament is Saturday, May 2nd at Plumas Pines Golf Course in Gray Eagle. There will be 3 hole-in-one prizes, $10,000 in cash and 2 $5,000 in cash. Entry is $100 a person. 4-person scramble includes golf, cart, lunch, and hors d'oeuvres. Entry deadline is April 24th, or the first 144 players. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station. Susanville Kiwanis is sponsoring 5 scholarships for students pursuing either an academic or vocational career. To qualify, students must be graduating high school seniors from Lassen High School District, attendance area with a grade point average of 2.5 or higher. All students planning to attend a college, university, or vocational technical college are encouraged to apply. Scholarship information is available in the counseling office at Lassen High School. Applications must be submitted by April 10th.
If you'd like to join the conversation, 257-TALK, 825-58256, toll free at 1-866-882-1277.
This date in history, May 1st, 1961, the infamous Fidel Castro announces there will be no more elections in Cuba. 1970, the students from Kent State University, they riot in downtown Kent, Ohio, in protest of the American invasion of Cambodia. And of course, 2011, Osama bin Laden is killed by the United States Navy SEALs in Operation Neptune Spear. And, of course, 21 years ago tomorrow, on a light note, one of my favorite nephews, Mr. Jared McIntyre, was born. So happy birthday to my wonderful favorite nephew out there in Phoenix, Arizona. Hope you're tuned in and listening. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we are where America's voice is heard, Tim.
We're going to get on to some national topics in just a second. You kind of mentioned the sports. It's a huge weekend in sports, the huge fight. A fight that we haven't seen probably in 20 or 30 years. People have been clamoring for it for a long time. I go back to Ali and Frazier. If they were around 40, you know, now like that, that's about what it would be like. Can you imagine going down there to Vegas and paying $35, $50, $100,000 for a ringside seat? Man, oh, man.
Well,
Andrew?
A lot of people are paying $35,000 just to hang out with California President Pro Tem of the Senate, Mr. Kevin De Leon, and all these other guys out here in California. Look, let's move on to something. You know, I've been holding off talking about Baltimore. You know, I've always taken the position. We do, just in our profession. We always wait. Yeah, we know better. We know that you have to wait to the conclusion of the investigation. And, you know, Paul brought it up a little bit on Know That. You know, the reaction of citizens in our streets right now needs to be condemned regardless. Because, look, here's the deal. It's unfortunate what occurred with the young man. And it's unfortunate for the officers and their families involved. It's just a tragic, tragic situation that has happened in Baltimore. Look, law enforcement, we know, man, that a good 80 to 90% of the time, 8, 9 out of 10 times, you know, suspects and criminals, they're going to over-dramatize and they're going to overreact and they're going to claim, you know, fake allegations and cry wolf and cry. We know that. But, man, I just don't understand, you know, the concept, what the law enforcement officers were thinking, you know, when they took down Mr. Freddie Gray. And it's tough for me to fathom how that day actually went for law enforcement officers. And we could sit there and criticize individuals and law enforcement all day, but what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to let a use of force policy issue with law enforcement try to evolve into an area of racism, because it wasn't. We know it wasn't a racist. When the majority of the leadership of the city of Baltimore happened to be black, versus the law enforcement, the chief of police is black, and the majority of that law enforcement,
the mayor as well,
absolutely. So it brings up something that maybe we should start having a real conversation about. You guys know that. I just don't really think it's a great idea how we are militarizing our law enforcement officers out in the streets of America. I just don't know if it's good for us to take, some of the tactical approaches that we take. The bottom line is, as a law enforcement officer, our number one priority, obviously, is to protect and serve the citizens of this great nation. And so if we're starting to lose that, it really is frustrating, because as law enforcement officers, we're paid to be professionals. We're paid to be frustrated. We're paid to deal with individuals, some of the insults. We're paid to be out there and to be scrutinized.
To take it,
for the most part. Not to give it just because, someone looks at you wrong or acts towards you wrong. But at the same time, as law enforcement officers, we have to stop looking at individuals every day on our streets like we are criminals or they are criminals. I mean, citizens, that the people, we are the people also. And so I'm always going to take a look at the citizen's point of view when it comes to law enforcement, when it comes to my profession. My hypocrisy only goes so far with that. And I have to tell you, if that was my son, I would be mad as you know what.
Sure.
Right now. And I would be seeking the truth first. Seek the truth first. Let's find out what happened before we start demanding justice, because we have to know the truth first before we can figure out what type of justice needs to be rendered. So hopefully now, with the state's attorney of Baltimore coming out, and I did watch the entire press release, and good Lord, I mean, the young girl, once again, I was just like, I mean, the young girl, emphasis is the young girl, appeared to be a little puppetish, with all the experienced individuals behind her. And hopefully she's making the right decision to go after law enforcement officers, because she has evidence and that she has a case, rather than bowing to political pressures in the name of trying to suppress the criminal behavior that's going on in the streets of Baltimore.
Well, there is a criminal element out there, Andrew. It sounds like you're almost saying, I'm going to make sure I say this and preface this correctly, we know things like that were going to happen. We could see that it was going to happen in the Baltimore area, because we just had that in Ferguson, Missouri, and what happened down right there. You could see that businesses were going to be looted. People have worked their whole lives, had nothing to do with what just happened. Do the police need to set up barriers at those places? Allow the folks to demonstrate. There's nothing wrong with demonstrating peacefully, but when you go in and you break the law, there is a line right there, and they are forced to act. Despite of what's going on and what may or may not have happened with Freddie Gray, they are forced to act. Don't make them to have to do their job. Demonstrate peacefully. Do what you have to do. We are paid to take it, like we said a few moments ago out there. But don't break the law, folks. Let it play out. Find the truth. It takes a little time for the truth to come out. We're finding out some things. There is some evidence that the Attorney General is saying over there, and they are going to pursue that. Let that happen.
And, the Constitution guarantees us, obviously, the right to protest and petition our government, but it does not give us the right to burn down a city, to burn down somebody else's property. At that point in time, you've crossed over into criminal behavior. And, I get into discussion a little bit, with some of my libertarian buddies out there, when it comes to the Federalist approach versus the local approach. And this is a local issue. This is 100% a local issue. And for the first time, I'm going to praise President Barack Obama for not getting involved, as he should not have gotten involved. This is a local issue. Let the local law enforcement agencies, let the local state attorneys, and of course, the district attorneys, and let the city figure that out. Now, you know, when it comes to the cost, when it comes to the cost to rebuild the city of Baltimore, you know, is there a federal obligation, you know, to fund that? I'm going to say no. But at the same time, man, we all know that that is going to happen within the United States Congress. And hopefully the people of Baltimore, you know, can pull it together. They seem to be, you know, pulling together for the most part. The people are, you know, pulling themselves up by the bootstraps, getting out there, cleaning up their own city, cleaning up their messes, and, you know, doing their part. Because, face it, it was members of their community, their children, that were out there causing the destruction. So it looks like the people are taking the responsibility, you know, for the actions of their kids, just like that mother did. God bless that mother, man, that, you know, that pulled her son out and just, you know, did something to him that I think needs to happen more often as far as parental control on some of their kids so that they don't go down the road of thuggery.
Do you think, Andrew, that we are going to learn, because this is probably going to happen in another city, someplace, somewhere, sometime, to where folks are going to get a handle on this and they're going to say, let us not do these things to destroy businesses, to destroy our communities. If it happens again in New York City, let us demonstrate peacefully. Let's bring, you know, our desires and what we think should happen. Let's make those known. I mean, maybe get a spokesperson to talk about it, but just don't go out there and loot and destroy. You saw people who had been in business for 30 years in that great community lose everything. And how are they going to get their money back? They have insurance, but it's probably not for something like what we saw out there. And I'm sure that we, the taxpayers of the United States, and here in Lassen County and Susanville, you know, part of our tax dollars to the federal government are going to go into things, something like that.
You know, we mentioned in the state of California that the average income rose 2% to a whopping $36,000 a year on average out in California. Is this going to set the stage, you know, for an election issues coming up? Absolutely. You guys know I just totally despise NAFTA and CAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreements and the Central American Free Trade Agreements. I think they have been very detrimental to the American workforce, the American average blue-collar, middle-class American out there in the United States. It's been great for individuals like myself, you know, as far as Wall Street, your investment portfolios, but it's been terrible as far as, you know, the opportunities to the people in this country. And so jobs are going to be an issue, I think. The economy is going to be an issue, as we spoke several shows back. It's the economy, stupid, which is going to evolve into this upcoming presidential election. And I have to tell you, we've got an opportunity as Republicans to really, really put Hillary Clinton onto the road. And really, really take it to her policies, take it to her record. And as long as we focus on that, once again, message, 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 we've got a great opportunity maybe to get this country turned around. President Barack Obama right now currently is in his final phase of completing probably the last campaign promise that he made during his initial campaign
2008.
You know, he's getting ready to close Gitmo. That's just all there is to it. That is the last thing that is on his list to do. And we see that he's getting ready to release some more detainees to eventually, through attrition, eventually that camp is going to have to close.
Andrew, and we've been seeing that a lot of those guys have been making their way back into some of those foreign countries that they came from and trying to participate once again. I don't see how we can allow something like that to happen, because those were crimes against the United States of America. And I know it's been a while. It's been over 10 years, you know, going on 15 years here pretty quick. But it's amazing that we can allow them to be just going free, because that's what you promised. That was something you said that you were going to do. And that's just beyond me how that can happen.
Well, because he said he was going to do it as part of his campaign promise. He's the president of the United States. He's got that executive authority to do that. And the question is going to be is whether or not the American people, you know, want to accept that authority. And God forbid, you know, the day is going to come that one of these individuals that the president has released is going to come back and inflict more harm onto these wonderful United States. Now, look, when you talk about the Hillary Clinton campaign, you know, it seems like that our state attorney general out here in California, Kamala Harris, has taken a page out of that book as far as really not focusing on the press. A lot of transparency. The press right now, yeah, I just can't believe that we are allowing a lot of our candidates and our elected representatives to not, to get away with not coming forward and talking to the press. We see out here in California where a judge in Sacramento had to order the legislature to release the calendars and the appointment books and the records of two indicted corrupt Democrat senators, for goodness sakes. And so here is an opportunity. It seems like these Democrats are doing two things. What's good for me is not good for you. We all know what that is. That's communism 101. And the socialist approach now is going to begin to take root in America. We see Bernie Sanders now getting ready to launch his campaign based on jobs, based on, you know, the economy, based on, you know, these socialists are trying to take over and redefine themselves under the old progressive, you know, what the progressive movement really was, the antitrusters. And, you know, it's going to be something that is going to be, I think this might take a little traction, and something Republicans we need to be aware of, because, you know, when you've got just a handful of institutions, there's less than five banks, basically investment banks, controlling $10 trillion in assets, you know, in Wall Street out there in New York, it's going to get a little traction as far as, you know, what direction these campaigns are going to go. And as we say, you know, the socialist movement, the communist movement will take root, because I think more and more Americans are looking at themselves, you know, we're making less. And why are we making less? These trade agreements that Republicans have been putting in place for two decades are really, really not helping the average blue-collar, middle-class worker.
Time for maybe those to go.
Ah, of course, man. Here we go, man. From our favorite book, from Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make you and your paths straight. God bless you, America.
From the 503 Report.
And of course, we always want to thank those men and women who go to work every day for the duty, work the toughest beaten state, so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California and across this country, can be safe.
Folks, the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Don't forget, coming up in just a little bit over a week, one of the greatest days ever. And, of course, that is Mother's Day. That is next Sunday. And we always want to thank our moms for that. If you want to catch a rebroadcast of this show, it's pretty simple. You can go to SierraDailyNews.com about a half hour after the show and catch the download right there. You can go to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. You can catch our podcast from about the past 4 years there as well. And weekends right here on 1240 KSUE. Pretty easy. You can tune in at 7 o'clock right before the news at 7:30 in Swap Shop. And then Sundays about 7:30 right before pre-programmed shows. So make sure that you check us out there and grab your favorite cup of coffee or hot chocolate, whatever you want, in the mornings. We are heard every Friday right after the news here on 1240 KSUE. Right about 12:15. Like I said, catch us on the podcast, SierraDailyNews.com, on the internet, up and down this great state and across this great country. Folks, it's always a pleasure to talk to you with my good friend Andrew and Paul and our listeners out there. We can't thank you enough. We'll talk to you again coming up next Friday right here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Remember, we are all born free.